Well, hey, good morning. Glad you're here. Those of you that are in the room, glad you're here. Those that are watching online, glad you could join us. We are midway in our series called Dangerous Prayers. We started off the year talking about these kind of prayers. We're halfway through this series. And I know for some of us, we think dangerous prayers, it's kind of an odd combination because isn't it when you're in danger is when you're supposed to pray? Or, you know, you pray to keep yourself out of danger, so why would you pray these dangerous prayers, right? Well, here's the reality for many of us, at least I know it's true for me. The vast majority of my prayers are all about me. And it's all about keeping me comfortable and keeping my life in the status quo. Don't change anything. Keep it all easy, right? It's kind of prayers like, bless me, protect me, keep me healthy, keep me safe. And those aren't bad prayers. Those are good prayers to pray. And I think God wants to answer those prayers. But the question is, what's the motive behind those kind of prayers? And if I'm honest, most of those prayers, when I pray those things, it's about, okay, God, I want to be comfortable. I want to be safe. I don't want to have to change anything. Just let me kind of skate through life and be okay. Just do everything for me to make that easy. Dangerous prayers are the opposite. Dangerous prayers are prayers where we make ourselves available to God. They're dangerous to our comfortable, average status quo life. Instead of asking God to do things for us, dangerous prayers are prayers where we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do for you? And sometimes that causes us to do some things that are a little scary and step out in ways that maybe we wouldn't in other ways. It makes us uncomfortable. That's why these things we've been talking about in the series are dangerous prayers. They're dangerous to the status quo, comfortable lives. And I don't know where you are in your faith, but I imagine in a room like this, there's probably some of us here where your faith has just kind of been just kind of plateaued, just kind of trucking along, nothing exciting, just kind of every day is the same. Maybe this is a season for you to start asking, okay, what are some of these dangerous prayers and how can I begin implementing these? Because I want to see God move. I want to see God do things. I want to be used by God to make a difference and make an impact. And that requires us taking a step out in faith and praying some of these dangerous prayers. So this week, before we dive into this week's dangerous prayer, I want to set it up a little bit with a question. Question is, who are you? Who are you? And I know you're like, all right, it's too early to get all philosophical, Brent. Come on. No, who are you? Maybe a better question is this. Which version of you is really you? Because all of us have these different versions of ourselves depending on who's around us and the situation and the context and the circumstance. All these different versions of ourselves floating around. And the question is, which one of those is the real me? There's all these different versions of me, right? You have the, you can get your bulletins out and take some of these notes if you want. But you have the version of me, the me that I want others to see. And this is the image that we carefully craft. It's the clothes we wear, it's the jokes we tell, it's the cars we drive, it's the vacation photos we post online. We do all these things with intentionality to craft this image because we want some people to see us in a certain light, right? It's the reason I'm up here today wearing a button-up shirt and not the sweats that I'm going to be wearing this afternoon when I'm sitting in my recliner. It's the me I wanted you to see, right? And we all have that. We craft this image. And we want people to see us in a certain light, in a certain way. And so we do those things. And we spend time and energy thinking through those things and intentionality and looking through all the pictures like, oh, I look really good in that photo. I'm going to post that one, right? And the rest of your family looks crazy and you got funny faces and half their eyes are closed, but you look good. So that's the photo you post, right? It's the me that I want others to see. Like we get that. There's another me, though. It's the me I don't want others to see. These are the things that you're like, okay, let's smooth that over. Let's not go there. Let's not talk about that. Things that you hide. It's the 5% of the truth that you don't tell, right? Like you say most of it and you kind of cast yourself in a certain light, but there's things you just don't bring up, you don't say. It's the things that you do when nobody's around and you're like, man, I hope nobody finds this out. It's the things that you think about in your head. All of us have a me that we want to hide because it's not pretty. We don't want other people to see it. And the interesting thing is Sometimes we're successful in that and sometimes we're not, right? I mean, the news has been full lately of stories of the me that people didn't want others to see and suddenly, boom, it comes out, right? People who for years and years had been hiding behind their power and their status and kind of trying to cover up all the abuse that they'd been doing for years and years and years, and now suddenly the me that they didn't want anybody to see is now front page news. Or it's the victims of those people that were ashamed and afraid to come forward, and so they hid it. They didn't want anybody to know what had happened to them because of the fear of what would happen if that came out. But now they're stepping out bravely and telling these stories. All of us, and maybe it's not quite to that extent like we've been seeing in the news lately, but all of us have parts of our lives that we just simply don't want other people to see. And all of us have things that we do that we're like, oh man, I can't believe I did that. I hope nobody finds out about that. That's another version of me floating around. Another version of me is the me that I can't see. It's the me I can't see. And all of us have habits and learned behaviors and just natural inclinations that just flow out of us. We don't realize we even do these things. Now, the people around you see them, but you can't see them. It's a blind spot, right? You know that when you're driving. Remember driver's ed? I remember back 15-year-old Brent in driver's ed, first time ever merging onto the interstate. You know, I'm accelerating and my driver's ed instructor's like, okay, you can merge. And so I checked the side mirror and I checked the rearview mirror. I'm like, okay, here I go, you know. And then the next thing I know, mock, mock. And the driver's ed instructor grabs the wheel and pulls us off in the ditch that way. And then a dump truck pulls off into the other side of the ditch. And all the guys in the back seat are going, ah! And we get the car stopped and all the guys in the back seat, you idiot, how did you not see the dump truck? I'm like, I looked, I didn't see it, I don't know. You know, and the driver's ed instructor's like, kids, let me tell you about blind spots, right? I mean, this massive dump truck and I couldn't see it. It was in my blind spot. And that is the way all of us have these characteristics and character flaws and just kind of these habits that we do that we don't even know we do. They're blind spots to us. We don't see them. But talk to your spouse or talk to your kids or talk to your coworkers. They know that you do them, right? But that's the crazy thing and the scary thing about the me that I can't see is that I can't see it. I don't know it's there. And it requires other people to point that out and to let us know. And then there's another me. This is the me that others see. And this is a combination of the previous three. Right? Obviously, people see the image that we want them to see, we put forward. And people see our blind spots, the me I can't see, because we can't see them, but other people can. And no matter how much we try to hide things, people do see the parts of us that we don't want them to see. And it's this combination of all of the above is the me that others see. Just a little while ago, my wife and I were having a tense conversation. And it's like it's tense conversation. I'm not going to call it an argument. You know, it makes me sound a little holier if I say a tense conversation than we were having an argument with my wife. But we were going, and it was one of those deals. I don't know if you're ever in these situations, but it's one of those things where I knew that if she knew that I was mad about it, then she would get mad, right? Like if I reacted in like, why are you getting mad about this? And then she'd get mad. So I'm trying to remain like perfectly calm. In our conversation, I'm trying to hold it all together and be composed. And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job. And all of a sudden, she stops our conversation halfway. And she says, well, you don't have to get mad about it. I said, I'm not mad, right? And she says, yeah, you are. Your nostrils are flaring. And I'm like, what? Right? That was the me that she saw. She saw this blind spot. Like, I didn't even know my nostrils flared. But I got mad. I had no idea that that happened. But she knew that about me. And I was trying to hide this thing. It was the me that I didn't want her to see. I was like, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. And she's like, yeah, you are, right? It's the me that others see. So here's the question. Which version of me is the real me? Because this is where it gets tension, right? Because sometimes one version of me is in direct contradiction to the other version of me. There's times that I say things and say I believe this or say that this is important to me, but then there's other times that I do something totally different. So which version of you is the real you? And here's the thing, we live in a culture that hates hypocrisy, right? We hate it. We hate people that publicly proclaim one thing, and then you find out in their private lives they're doing this other thing. And we love to take them, and we find out about that. We put them on the news, and we shame them, and how dare they, and we talk about them. But all of us have parts of our lives that are in contradiction to each other. We have these versions of ourselves that are opposed and do different things. And so the question is, which is the real you? We spend all this time and this energy trying to reconcile all these versions of me and trying to manage them and trying to hide certain things here and portray a certain image here and figure out things here. And it can be exhausting. Which is the real you? So this is where the dangerous prayer comes in, because I believe there's another version of me. If you're a follower of Christ, you believe in God and who he says he is, then we believe that there's another version of me, and that's the me that God sees. And you can put in your notes that I think that's the real me. The me that God sees is the real me. And we get a glimpse of this in Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there or your the YouVersion app on your phone. I'll be reading a couple of excerpts from this psalm. Psalm 139. Psalms is a book in the Old Testament. It's about in the middle of your Bible, and it's a collection of songs and poetry that tell just in kind of this beautiful imagery and beautiful metaphors, gives us insights and glimpses into who God is and the truth of God. And the majority of those psalms were written by a guy named David, and he was the king of Israel, kind of one of the greatest kings of the ancient nation of Israel. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, that he was a man that strived to grow closer to God and strived to learn about him, and that's reflected in some of these psalms that he wrote. And so David wrote Psalm 139, and he starts out, and he says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me." It's the me God sees. He sees the real me, because he sees all of those versions of me, and he sees all the things that I don't even know about. He knows all of these things. He sees the real me. It says, "You know when I sit or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it." Psalm 139 is a psalm about God knowing the real me, God's knowledge of us. And then in the middle of the psalm, he kind of shifts to a different metaphor, and he talks about how God knows us before we were even born. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God knows us. Knows us before we were born. Knows, he said, our days are written out in his book before a single day had even passed. He knows us. And so then David starts with this knowledge, and then he wraps up. And this is our dangerous prayer. David ends the last two lines of Psalm 139 is this prayer of David, and it's the dangerous prayer for us this week. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Search me, O God." Here's the question. Who's that searching for? When David cries out, "Search me, O God," who's that for? Is it for God to learn something about us that he didn't already know? No, because David started out the psalm saying, "God, you know everything about me. You know about more about myself than even I know." So then who's the searching for? The searching is for us. So when David ends that psalm, he says, "Search me, O God." He's not trying to give God more information or new insights that God didn't already know. No, it's an opportunity for God to point out in us things that we don't realize about ourselves. It's the me that we can't see. Or maybe the things that we know about, but we try to shove and forget and walk away from. It's the me that I don't want others to see. And so when David calls out and says, "Search me, O God," he is laying himself bare. He's opening himself up and saying, "Okay, God, you know everything about me. And if you are the God that has this infinite knowledge of me, more intimate than I even know myself, then maybe I should turn to you and ask you to point these things out in me And he gives three areas for God to search us in. Three areas. He says, search my heart, search my anxious thoughts and my offenses. Search my heart, oh God. Well, what's your heart? Your heart is where your motives, your identity, your worldview, how you see yourself rests. So when he says, search my heart, the question is, why do you do what you do? Right? What's your motives behind it? Because here's the thing, you can do a lot of good things for very wrong reasons, for very ugly, bad reasons, right? I could do a bunch of good, but if the motivation for me doing good is to elevate my own status and to get people to say, oh, Brent, you're so awesome, you're so cool, I can't believe y'all, great job, right? Or if it's for me to kind of one-up somebody, right? Or you can do all this good and in order to have somebody to owe you back. And so it's manipulation, right? So what's your motives? Why do you do what you do? That's a heart thing. Or maybe it's your identity and how you see yourself and how you form your opinion of who you are. Is it based on what other people say about you? Is the other people's praise or criticism of you affect how you see yourself or how you see God? Or maybe it's a pride thing that's an issue of your heart, right? When's the last time that you admitted you were wrong and said you were sorry? Well, I'm never wrong. It's a heart thing. What are the things that make you defensive? Like what are the handful of topics that if somebody brings it up, right, you don't know why, but boom, it just sets you off. You find yourself being all defensive and arguing and blah, blah, blah. Why do you make the decisions that you make? Who benefits from those? What's the condition of your heart? Those are just some of the questions when you say, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Where is your heart these days? Are you allowing God to search it? Second area David points out is, he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. My anxious thoughts. He doesn't just say, know my thoughts, and God does, but he says in particular, he points out my anxious thoughts. Well, what's that about? It's about what worries you and the things that you fear. It's about trust. Where does your trust lie? And so when you are awake in the middle of the night and your mind's going, what are the kind of things that you are thinking about? What are the things that you are worrying about? And what does that say about where your trust rests? Know my anxious thoughts. What are the things that you try to white knuckle and control? The relationships or the situations that you try to be in control of, and it's just exhausting to control things that really aren't yours to control. Or what are the decisions that you just keep putting off, right? The things that you're just afraid to go there, afraid to make a decision because of what that may mean, and so you just kind of avoid it. What does that say about where you place your trust? Those are the kind of questions when David said, test me and point out my anxious thoughts. Where does your trust lie? And then the third thing he says is, point out anything in me that offends you, God. What's the sin in your life? The habits, the hang-ups that you struggle with, the things that you know about, but you try to hide. It's the me that you don't want anybody to see. What are those? Maybe it's time to pull those out and deal with them. But then also, what's the me that I can't see? And sometimes we have things that we do and ways that we respond that are sinful and they're against God, but we're ignorant to it and we just don't know about it until somebody enlightens us and points it out and talks about it. Or maybe you're reading God's word and you read something, you're like, whoa, I do that, but it says that's not good to do, right? What's the me that I can't see? And maybe God wants to point those things out to you. And so this dangerous prayer, search me, oh God, know my heart, test my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you. It's up to you if you're going to pray this prayer or not. Right? As your week goes on this week, it's your decision whether or not you carve out time and say, search me, oh God. Let him point these things out. And it's a dangerous prayer because it's not fun. It's not comfortable. Right? Nobody likes to have those things pointed out to us. But I think the only thing more dangerous than praying this prayer is to not pray it. to never deal with those things. Because then that means you're stuck. You're just stuck. If you never pray this prayer, you're never going to grow. You're just stuck where you are. Right? I mean, don't you want to know? Don't you want to know these things so that you can deal with it and take care of it? A while back, I got home from a shopping trip, and I go into the bathroom, I look in the mirror, and I go, ah! I had a giant booger crusted into my mustache. And if you've ever been in those situations, right, the first thing, like you, the first emotion is this wave of embarrassment. And you start replaying your day, and you're like, oh my gosh, who did I talk to? Who saw me? Oh no, you know, like when did this happen? And like, I'm alone in my bathroom. I'm feeling so embarrassed. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. But then your second emotion is anger. Because then I'm like, well, why didn't somebody tell me? Come on. Ah. Like I just wanted to know so I could take care of it. I didn't want to look like an idiot. And that's the way it is with this. It's not fun. It's not pleasant to have these things pointed out and for God to bring these up to you and you have to deal with them. It's messy and it's not fun. But wouldn't you want to know so you can deal with it, so that you can grow? See, this is about God helping us become another me. There's another me that exists. It's the me God created me to be. Right? So this dangerous prayer is about us developing and growing and being transformed into the person that God originally created us to be. You see, we read it. We read it in that scripture that God formed us. He created us in our mother's womb. All our days were laid out before me. He created you with a purpose. He created you with gifts and abilities and a unique personality. There's no one like you. And so when you are fully you, God gets the most glory because he created you to be you and just the way you are. But then this thing called sin and brokenness enters the picture, and it kind of hinders us and keeps us from living how God created us to live. It separates us from God, right? And so all this whole prayer here, like maybe for some of us, the very first step when we say, God, know my heart, maybe the very first step is for us to make things right with God in the first place. Maybe you've never asked God to forgive you. You've never made that decision to accept Christ. And that reunites us with God through what Jesus did on the cross. And all that sin, the thing that offends God, is forgiven. We can be made right. But that is just the starting point. That's just the starting point in our life of faith and our relationship with Jesus. And then every single day is a decision, and a decision to grow and grow and grow and to slowly be transformed into the person that God created us to be. To kind of chisel away and sand down all the rough edges so that we can be fully our real selves. And when you're fully you and you're right with God and you're being transformed, then God can use you more and more and more. And those things, the sin and the habits and the hindrances, don't distract from what God's trying to do through you to impact the world. It's not a punitive thing. It's a freeing thing, right? When you say, search me, O God, it's about, I want to be fully me, who God created me to be. I don't want anything to hold back and distract from that. So God, point those things out. Point those things out. Know my heart. Point out my anxious thoughts. Point out any sin that offends you, God, because I want to bring honor. I want to bring glory to you so you can use me. And that's what it's about. So David prays this prayer at the end of this psalm. Search me, O God. He asks him to point out those three areas. But it doesn't end there. Because every bold prayer requires a bold step of action. And that's why David ends his psalm with this. Search me and then lead me. Lead me, O God. Lead me into the path of everlasting. Lead me to become more like you. Lead me to where you want me to go so you can use me. That's the second prayer. And that requires action on our part, right? God's going to lead us, but you have to grab his hand and you have to walk in step. And it's going to take a step to go where he's leading you and follow him You have to walk. You have to take a step. It requires some action. And so what is it that you have to do? As you pray, search me, and God brings these things to your mind, what is it then that you have to begin to put into place to follow him and to lead him where he wants you to go? And maybe that requires doing some things differently than you currently do them. Maybe that requires ending some relationships or starting new ones. Maybe that requires asking for help. Maybe that requires some things that you've not done before, or maybe some scary steps, and to step out in vulnerability and to pull out some of the me's that you've been hiding and say, all right, look, this is what's going on in my life. I'm struggling with this. I need some help. Lead me. Lead me, oh God. Search me, point these things out, and lead me. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us and that you care for us and that you intimately know us. And God, if you didn't care about us, you wouldn't be pointing these things out. You'd just leave us to our own devices. And we could make our own decisions and just do whatever we wanted, and you'd say, oh, whatever, I don't care. But you love us, God, and you created us for a purpose, and you've placed potential and gifts and abilities inside of us, and you want us to use those for your glory, and you want us to be united with you. And so, God, I pray for each one of us. God, this week, may we carve out some time and pray the dangerous prayer where we get before you and we say, search me. Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Test my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And then, God, may you give us the strength to follow after you as you lead us into the way of the everlasting life, so we can be used by you to make an impact in the world around us. For your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.